Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essam Koman, Head of MENA Research and Strategy. It's Friday, 1st May 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So Essam, globally we are witnessing a major shock caused by the coronavirus, but the effects in the GCC region seem even more profound. Can you elaborate as to why that is the case?
Sure. Well, succinctly put, the GCC region is a set of six countries which are by and large major oil and gas exporters. And so the region has been dealing with two synchronized ultra bearish shocks. On the one hand, the COVID-19 pandemic, and on the other hand, the implications of the recent OPEC Plus and G20 energy ministers' historic deal to reduce oil production, which alongside low oil prices will have substantially negative ramifications on real GDP growth, public finances, as well as external balances. Now, digging a little bit in terms of the details here, on real GDP growth, and there are two components for GDP to discuss, oil and non-oil. So first on oil GDP, sharp but necessary oil production cuts as part of the recent OPEC Plus and G20 energy ministers agreement will weigh heavily on real GDP growth rates in 2020 that have otherwise been flattered by a promise of a surge in output levels. And the oil output agreement will have a mechanical impact on real GDP growth via a low volume of production in the oil sector, with all regional countries expected to experience a contraction in oil GDP. In Saudi Arabia, for example, low oil production will shave roughly around 4.9% off oil GDP this year, with the hit being much more severe in Kuwait at 6.4%, according to our models. Second, on non-oil GDP, while the impact of COVID-19-induced lockdowns is naturally leading to a collapse in domestic demand, but the severity of the impact is uneven from country to country. And the compositional makeup of the economies matter here, alongside each government's measures to control the spread of the disease. Now, taken together, we view that the three core transmission channels through which COVID-19 will impact non-oil economy is mainly through weaker global trade, travel restrictions, which includes consumers' reluctance to travel outright, and finally, social distancing measures on non-oil GDP sectors. The most likely to be affected here are namely wholesale and retail trade, transportation. We also have recreation and hospitality. So this is primarily hotels and restaurants. So the efforts to contain COVID-19 will materially weigh heavily on non-oil GDP through these transition channels this year. And taken all together, our GCC regional real GDP growth projections in 2020 is for minus 3.7%, which would mark the weakest growth in the region since 1985. Indeed, facing either the COVID-19 domestic demand destruction shock or the collapse in oil prices and the impact on the reduction in oil production comprises would have been unprecedented. The combination of the two signals a massively deep and acute recession this year. Positively, the reaction function of GCC regional sovereigns in navigating these two shocks has been very commendable, sizable as well as timely to date, with the initial response led by regional GCC banks focusing on financial system liquidity with an attempt of regaining a level of normalization in the banking sector with respect to capitalization. And thereafter, the attention has been on fiscal stimulus and direct corporate support to minimize the economic fallout. And we take a lot of comfort from the wide-reaching bold policy responses offered by the policymakers thus far to combat the twin shocks.
And understanding that the GCC region is facing these two shocks caused by COVID-19 lockdowns and the collapse in oil prices and the reduction in oil production, how are regional sovereign balance sheets holding up? And how much sovereign funding requirements can we expect this year, Essam?
So yes, widening fiscal deficits, declining wealth buffers and rising debt are now firmly on the table. On the fiscal side, lower oil output channels into lower government or revenue projections, and under our assumption that there will be no corresponding increase in oil prices, noting that our Brent price forecast is for an average of $43 per barrel in 2020. So while the precipitous drop in energy costs is effectively a real income boost akin to a tax cut for the rest of the world, the GCC region will pay much of the price, with each $10 per barrel drop costing the region roughly around $72 billion in lost oil export receipts, according to our estimates, which is accounting for the reduction in oil production volumes from the OPEC Plus agreement. And factoring in the latest fiscal stimulus and consolidation announcements, our estimates point to GCC financing requirements of $208 billion this year. That's 12.6% of GDP, and that's under our base case of Brent of 43 in 2020. And the funding needs rising to $263 billion in our bearish, so that's the $30 per barrel oil price scenario, and narrowing to $152 billion in our bullish, and that's the $50 per barrel oil price scenario. And in addition, the indirect fiscal shortfall, widespread state ownership of sectors of the economy directly impacted by COVID-19 related losses, signals that contingent liabilities are also likely to rise. And so here, the aviation sector is the clearest example, with regional airlines facing pressure on cash reserves. And GCC authorities also fully own or have dominant stakes in tourism, real estate and logistic entities, which are likely to have been significantly hit by the COVID-19 crisis and may need some support in some scale and scope. Now, attending to growing financing needs in a lower oil price environment has driven GCC countries to increasingly diversify their sources of financing over the years. And our expectations are for policymakers to lean on accumulated FX reserves of roughly around $86 billion this year and international bond issuance of $72 billion as the two main levers to finance our base case estimates of $208 billion in GCC financing requirements this year. The rest of the composition will comprise of banking sector deposit drawdowns of roughly around $26 billion and domestic debt issuance of $22 billion, and finally, privatization measures of roughly around $2 billion. Now, critically, we remain comfortable that the GCC economies have the capacity to finance these deficits and investment programs for two key reasons. First, they have accumulated significant savings over the last 20 years, totaling roughly around $3.4 trillion, and that's more than 210% of GDP, which can be tapped to finance deficits and investments. And second, public debt to GDP ratios are broadly low to moderate, making it easy to raise debt on international markets at favorable interest rates. Of course, where the greatest stress may become more apparent in the near term is in Oman and Bahrain, where the fiscal buffers are weaker.
And finally, Ehsan, there has been some speculation surrounding the sustainability of GCC US dollar peg currencies. Are the regional pegs at risk?
So some context here. As GCC countries operate fixed pegs against the US dollar, with the exception of Kuwait, which operates a peg against a basket of currencies, an external adjustment to such a terms of trade shock is not possible, and the extent of the impact and the ability of external buffers to absorb it under a fixed FX regime is thus of great importance to the long-term viability of GCC pegs. Now, for us, almost all GCC sovereigns remain well positioned to withstand a protracted period of low oil prices, with balance sheets that are able to absorb the intensifying strain without being forced to challenge their US dollar peg FX regimes. And we believe that the regional US dollar pegs make intuitive sense for three key reasons. First, we have oil and gas is the dominant export of the GCC region. And so consequently, a devaluation would have limited impact on GCC export competitiveness, which would be quickly eroded by the high cost of imports in domestic consumption and with it higher inflation. Second, there are ample financial resources in most GCC regional countries to maintain the peg. And so whilst some of these have been used recently to finance the fiscal deficit and investment program, they remain sizable and sufficient to defend the peg, even if oil prices stay low for a number of years. And finally, there is political will to maintain the peg, and that is to say, the GCC US dollar pegs have been in place for decades, and the fixed exchange rate regimes has served each GCC country well in times of high and lower prices, as well as during times of political uncertainty. So all told, yes, we are witnessing some speculation in the foreign currency market at the moment, which is testing the sustainability of the pegs. We firmly believe that the regional pegs remain bulletproof and intact over the foreseeable future.
Right, thanks very much, Ehsan. Have a good week, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Ona, and you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.